Okay, the title of today's sermon is The Name of Jesus. Can you say that? The Name of Jesus. And today we'll be looking at the name of Jesus. What is it about this name? What can it deliver? What's so special about the name? Okay, open your Bible to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 3, one of the Bible readings. Acts chapter 3, and we are reading verse 1 to 8. Acts chapter 3, verse 1 to 8. Actually, before we read it, I want to ask the first question. So the first question is this. How many of you have ever heard about the name of Jesus? I know you have. Apart from Audrey. Audrey, are you not sure? Have you ever heard about the name of Jesus? Amen. So the first question is this. What is special? Or what is so special about the name of Jesus Christ? The name of the Lord Jesus Christ. What is special about that name? Why is that name different from any other name? Why is that name different from the name of a great man or a great prime minister or a great sportsman or a great academic or scientist? What is so special about the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Let's see some answers.
The name of Jesus, you can use it and it gives you authority and power to do things.
Okay, the name of Jesus gives you authority and power. Yes.
He's God's one and only Son.
Is the name of God's one and only Son. But I thought you just said, yeah, Son of God. I know you are. But yes, he is the first begotten of the Father. Amen. But we're also not children. We are his brothers now. Amen. Yes, God. Is the name above what? All names. Okay, yes, let's take more answers. I think today there's no perfect answer. All the answers are relevant. By the way, what Cameron said is right. He's God's unique Son. Yeah? The firstborn Son of the Father. Okay, but now we have been adopted, or we have become new creation in Christ. We're his brothers and sisters. Go on.
The confession of the name gives you access to the greatest power.
The name gives you access to power. You know, like Sean said, he said there's authority and power in that name. It's the name above all names. It's the name of God's unique Son. The firstborn, the one that was before all things. Or another way to say, God's eternal Son. See, I'm not God's eternal Son. I got born again. Before I was born again, I was in spiritual death. I was in spiritual darkness until I received the gospel. And when I believed it, I got born again into the family of God. And I became what? A child of God. But Jesus is God's eternal Son. Begotten, not made. Hallelujah. Yes. Any other answer? What's so special about this name of Jesus Christ?
That's the only name with power. And that's the only name that the devil is afraid of.
It's the name that the devils and demons are afraid of. The Bible says that he made an open show of them and triumphed over them. Basically, in today's language, he whipped them. He whipped them when he descended into hell. Any one more answer? What's so special about the name of Jesus Christ? Yes.
The name of Jesus is a supernatural name that every knee must bow to.
Hallelujah. It's the name above all names. Every knee must what? Bow. And every tongue, what? Confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to begin to see the importance of that name. Look at your Bible. Acts 3 now. Let's read Acts 3, 1 to 8. Who would like to read it? Acts chapter 3, verse 1 to 8. Brother Gideon, the mic was looking for you. Acts 3, 1 to 8. Please follow in your Bible.
Acts 3, 1 to 8. Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. As they approached the temple, a man lamed from birth was being carried in. Each day he was put beside the temple gate, and one called the Beautiful Gate, so he could beg from people going into the temple. 3. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for some money. 4. Peter and John looked at him intently and Peter said, "Look at us." 5. The lame man looked at them intently, expecting some money, but Peter said, I don't have any silver or gold for you, but I will give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazareth, get up and walk. 7. Then Peter took the lame man by the right. Then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. And as he did, the man's feet and ankle were instantly healed and strengthened. 8. He jumped up, stood on his feet, and began to walk. Then walking, limping, and praising God, he went into the temple with them.
Amen. Thank you so much, brother. I love the readings you read. So I have a question there. We know that was a miracle, don't we? Yeah, this was a lame man. And if you continue reading, you find that he was about 40 years old. So that all the time Jesus was there. Because Jesus went to the temple. Am I right? When he was alive. This man was there at the gate. And the name of that gate is what? Beautiful Gate. Actually, there was a gate. There's a gate on the temple called Beautiful. You understand? And that man, they carried him there. Okay? When Jesus was there, he was there. Amen? You know, Jesus did not heal everybody in Israel when he was around. Amen? He healed those who came to him. Amen? He did not heal. He healed all manner of sickness and disease. But that doesn't mean he healed everybody. He healed those who came to him. He healed those who believed in him. Amen? Hallelujah. That man was there. And Peter must have seen this man before. Yeah? Because he's been to the temple before. Even on the day of the Pentecost, they went to the temple. Yeah? You know, like I've taught this before, they did not receive the Holy Spirit in the upper room. Because it was the day of Pentecost. It was a feast in Israel. They had to be where? In the temple. The Bible never said upper. It said they were together in one place. Now you can understand how the other people heard them when they were speaking in tongues. Yeah, because they were actually where the other people were. Amen? So, they knew this man. But, this particular day, something happened. The man asked them, to give him alms. So the question I want to ask you is this. How exactly did that miracle happen? The answer is, Peter said, I don't have what? Silver or gold. Now, I don't actually believe that means that he didn't have any money at all. What he's saying is that, I don't have enough money to solve your problem. Okay? Maybe even he didn't have some that day. Does not mean he never had silver and gold. Okay? Don't go up there and say, well, Peter did not have silver and gold, so we don't, you know, it's okay to be poor. Yeah? If you are poor, you will suffer. You understand? You need money to cater to your needs. But what you don't need is greed. But you need what? Money. To serve God, we also need what? Money. But that moment, they didn't have silver and gold. But he said, what I have, I will give you. My question is this. What did Peter have? He said, silver or gold, I don't have. But I have something that I will give you. What did Peter have?
Peter had the power of God in him.
Amen. Yes, Peter had the power of God. That's a good answer. But that's not the perfect answer. You have to go back to Acts chapter 3. Yeah? Look at verse 7 again. You will see the clue. Peter had the power of God. I agree. Because actually, just before this time, he had received the Holy Spirit baptism. And he was empowered. And we may begin to wonder and say, why did Peter not heal this man before? Obviously, he needed to be empowered. So that's right. But he had something more than just being empowered. Yes, Taronke said first. Sorry.
He had the name of Jesus.
Everyone, put your hands together for Taronke. Amen. Now, absolutely. For many years, I just said he had power. We know they receive power. We know he had power. But from what he was showing us, he was more specific. He said, what I have, I will give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Now, I want to explain something to you. How can we prove that Jesus and Peter had the name? Because we need to prove it. Because he said, what I have. So he was confident I have it. Amen? You know, sometimes you are not, sometimes you may not be confident that you have the name. So if you are not sure that you have something, you may feel fidgety to use it. Amen? It's like somebody, it's like, you know, my son, my other son has a bicycle. And then his brother, one day, goes to try to use it. Yeah? Maybe because his brother went out. But he'll be thinking, if my brother gets me, yeah? It's not his. He's borrowing it. Hallelujah. Remember the seven sons of Sceva? It is in Acts. They tried to cast out demons in the name of Jesus and Paul. He didn't want to say, Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. But you, I don't know you. That's what you say, that you don't have a right to use that name. Are you with me? But let's show where Peter got this right. Because if it affect us, I want to know whether I have the right like Peter had. Amen? So sometimes you can sit down and say, well, you know, Peter had power. He was an apostle. They were with Jesus. That's why he did it. So maybe I don't have that type of power. So maybe I can't do it. But if we can find out how he received that name, we may understand whether we have that same right or not. And if we can prove that we have the same right, it means that we can decide to do the same thing. Except we didn't have the right. Are you with me? So let's go to Mark. Oh, Satoni, sorry. Yeah, you go on. Say what you want to say.
No, I just want to say that Peter had faith.
Peter had faith,
and
yes.
And he confessed by saying the name of Jesus.
And he used the name. Amen. We go there. You're just ahead of me, my message. Mark chapter 16. Go to Mark chapter 16. We need to prove to you how Peter got his power. And we need to see whether we have the same. Amen. Mark 16. And if you are there, someone read for me. Verse 17 and 18. Someone else, a sister this time. Mark 16, verse 17 and 18. Please follow your Bible.
And these signs will accomplish.
And these signs will accomplish Peter and John.
Who believe in my
name. No, don't rush. These signs will accomplish the 12 apostles that follow Jesus. Okay, these signs will accomplish only those who receive the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Please read verse 15 first. Verse 15.
He said to them, go in.
Go into the world and preach to what?
The gospel to all nations.
Yes, continue.
Believes and is baptized.
Whoever believes and is baptized will be what? That's the belief we are talking about there. Amen? He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. And this signs will accomplish those who believe. So that means the signs accompany who? Believers in Christ. Let me be like Mr. Who. Let's change that question. So that means that the signs accompany who? I'm coming back to you. Who does the sign accompany? Who can give me the perfect answer now? I told you the answer, but I'm looking for a perfect. It's not perfect. Who does this sign accompany right now?
Those who repent from their sins and believe in Jesus.
Yes, that's an excellent answer. But I'm looking for the application. Who does this sign accompany right now? Who does it accompany?
Me.
Yes, it accomplishes me. Hallelujah. I don't need any special qualification. The only qualification I need is I have accepted Jesus, like my brother said, as my Lord and Savior. I want to explain that to you. You know, like, I don't know. Like when you give birth to a child, yeah? So what do? You give the child a name. So what do you name this child? Yeah? Anybody help me? Yeah, first name, second name, third name. If you like, give him 10 names. Then what's the last name? What's the last name you give the child?
Your name.
Your name. Hallelujah. If you like, give the child 1,000,000 names. What's the last name? It's your name. You know why? Or the name of the father. You know why? Because they have inherited that name by birth. Hallelujah. They have what? Inherited that name by what? By birth. They don't need any other qualification. By birth, they inherited the name. Hallelujah. So also, by birth, by new birth, you inherited the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So now, I'm Ben, all my other names, Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I have inherited his name by new birth. The name belongs to me because I am in him and he is in me. I don't need any other qualification. The seven sons of Sceva, they were not born again. They didn't know Christ. That's why they have to cast out in the name of Jesus whom Paul preached. They do not have any personal encounter with Christ. They've heard about him, but they don't know him. Hallelujah. But you know him. You know why you know him? Because he lives in you. Say, Christ lives in me. How do you know he lives in you? You know he lives in you because you made a conscious decision to accept him as your Lord and Savior. That is a massive decision. So a decision has changed your profile spiritually. You know, it's like you're on Facebook and you put on a picture on Facebook. Anybody on Facebook? You put on a picture and then maybe you went away and you've not been active on Facebook. 2 years later, you look at that picture, you don't like it. So you, or if you're like one of my sisters, say every week you take a picture and every week you change the profile. Okay, I hope the person cannot locate me. Hallelujah. You see, when you go born again, your spiritual profile changed. Hallelujah. The surname Christ was stamped on you. Hallelujah. Say, just say, the name of Jesus belongs to me. Now. Doesn't need any fasting and prayer. Hallelujah. If that child doesn't need to fast and pray, they have inherited the name by birth. Hallelujah. And any right is like you have the Queen of England. Even the grandchildren. You know, like, you know, before, you know, Prince Harry, you know, William and Kate. So, when they got married, you had Charles. Prince Charles is the son of the Queen. He's the first in line to the throne. Yeah? And then, Prince Harry and William. William is older. He's the second in line to the throne. And then who is next? When they got married. Before William got married, his brother, Harry, was the third in line to the throne. But suddenly, George, is it George? George the first one. He arrived. What did he do? He bounced Harry. How? He's still like 2 days old. He bounced Harry by birth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He didn't need to even eat baby food to bounce Harry. He inherited that right by what? By birth. Hallelujah. So also, the name of Jesus belongs to you by new birth. You have the right to use that name and it should deliver the result that the Bible said it would deliver. If it could deliver it for Peter, it can deliver it for you. If you believe it. And the purpose of this message is to make you believe it, to know that it belongs to you. Every right that belongs to the royal throne now, it belongs to George. Amen? If someone is trying to chase you or kidnap you, it's a serious crime. More serious than any other child on the street because of the name he has inherited. Hallelujah. So also, that name belongs to you. Say, the name of Jesus belongs to me. Okay, please read verse 15, 17 now and 18 again. So let's now look at the rights that name confers on you as a believer. These rights are conferred to all believers. If you are not seeing it in your life or in the life of people around you, I will tell you the reasons, but it belongs. This is your covenant right now, being listed in 17 and 18. Please read it.
And these signs
These signs will accomplish those who believe.
In my name.
How?
Drive out.
Wait, wait, just wait. How will these signs work? Someone tell me. How?
In my name.
In, how?
In my name.
In my name. Hallelujah. I know you sign and say, oh, but I'm a Christian, I cannot see the sign yet. Because the signs are linked to the name. Hallelujah. If you are not going to use the name of Jesus, you are not going to see the signs. Hello? The signs accompany you out in his name. That's what Peter said. He said, what I have. Because, you know, he was speaking to them directly, physically. Though it belongs to all believers. He said, what I have, I'm going to give you. I have the name. So what I'll do now is that you need a miracle. I don't have the miracle, but I have what? The name. Hallelujah. I don't have the miracle. What do I have? The name. So I will give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Let's read the signs. Let's read the signs. Then I want to show you how you can use the name. Because then that means that if I want to see the miracles accompanying me as a believer, I need to know how to use the name. It's all in the name. Say it's all in the name. If I know how to use the name, I will see miracles in my life. And you know, let me just tell you, the purpose of the name of Jesus is not just for your own benefit. It's also that God will benefit others through you. Hallelujah. Please tell us what will happen when you know how to use the name.
It says that they will drive out demons.
They will drive out demons.
They will speak in new tongues.
They will speak with new tongues.
They will pick up snakes with their hands.
They will pick up snakes.
With their hands.
Yes.
And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt
them. It will not hurt them. Whether poison, liquid, or venom. Yes.
They will place hands on the sick.
They will lay hands on the sick.
And they will get well.
And they will recover. Yes. Is that all?
Yes.
Amen. Let's flow on. So that means that in this name of Jesus, you are 12 years old or 13. Yeah? But if you believe in Christ, what do you have? You have the name. It's not according to age. Amen? A 12-year-old who understands the power of the name of Jesus can deliver the same miracle as a 70-year-old. Amen? It's equal right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What is the purpose of that name? That name is your weapon. Say, the name is my master weapon. Open Proverbs 18. Before I show you how to use the name, let me just show you a bit more about the name. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 10. Then we'll come back to what Sister Toyin said, and I'll show you how to use the name, and then we'll finish there. Proverbs 18, 10. Let's go to grammar. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 10. Okay, grandma is still searching. Anybody there? Yeah. Proverbs 18, 10. Yes, please go on.
Proverbs chapter 18,
verse 10. Please open your Bible to that place. It's important you read along. Yes, please go on.
Proverbs 18, verse 10. The name of the Lord is a strong fortress.
The name of the Lord is what?
A strong fortress.
A strong fortress. Yes.
The godly run to him and are safe.
The godly. Another verse says the righteous. Hallelujah. You know what made you righteous? The precious blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Look at this way. You are righteous. Amen. Why? Because of Jesus. Amen. But the Bible now tells you that when you are in trouble, when you are in a hard situation, when you are in an unpredictable situation, when you are in an impossible situation, what do? You run to what? The Lord. Is that what Proverbs 18 says? Does it say you run to the Lord? Hello? Now, there's nothing wrong in running to the Lord. Don't misunderstand me. But that's not what Proverbs 18 said. What does it say? It said the righteous run into the name. Amen? The righteous run where? Into the name. Hallelujah. You know what it means? It means that as a righteous person, you have to use the name of Jesus as your master weapon against any situation or circumstance. You throw the name at it. Hallelujah. Because you have the right to use that name. Amen. You had a bad dream. Wake up and throw the name at it. Hallelujah. You had a bad report from the doctor. Don't cry. Okay, you can cry. You know, there's room for emotion. If you want to cry, cry. But after you finish crying, take the name of Jesus. Throw it at that situation. Amen? You have an intractable problem. You throw everything that is not working. Look, this is what I did. Every morning and every evening, throw the name at it. Say, in the name of Jesus, I command you, mountain, to move. Then, don't worry. Let the name do its work. You see, the power to do the miracle is not you. It's in the name. So when you throw the name at it, just go about your normal business. At night, get up again. Say, in the name of Jesus, I command you, mountain, to move. Day and night, continue to throw the name at the situation. It must bow. It must what? It must bow. Some situations bow quickly. Some take time. But never shift your ground. Amen? But see, those who trust in the Lord, they are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved. Don't shift your ground. Amen? You see, the guarantee that you will not be moved is that you refuse to be moved. Amen? If you capitulate, sorry, I'm using a big word there. Now, if you allow the situation to overwhelm you, you are moved. Stand every day and night. Take the name of Jesus. Throw it at that problem. Hallelujah. It must bow. Hallelujah. It must what? It must bow. If you have thrown it, you've not thrown it enough. Throw it day and night, every day. That's why God is so good. He makes sure that a day ends and you have to sleep. Do you remember? Even Theresa May has to sleep. Hallelujah. Even Donald Trump asked you what? So there's no man that is ultimately powerful. So long they have to sleep. Hallelujah. If you want to know how powerful a man is, deprive them sleep for 3 days. Hallelujah. Yeah? Day and night. So if you've done it today and it's not yet moving, sleep. Make sure you sleep. Don't lose your sleep because of any problem. You turn to your neighbor, laugh at them, say don't. Lose your sleep because of any problem. Amen. Let me teach you the idea. Once you can eat and drink water, sleep. No problem is going to be greater than that. I know it might look like massive. My life is over. Yes. Once you can eat food and drink water, sleep. The next day, wake up. Throw the name of Jesus at it. Hallelujah. Okay. And let me just read two more places. I need to round up. John chapter, I want to tell you two things about the name. How Jesus showed us we should use this name. And what you need to do after today is begin to use the name. Hello? Don't wait for pastor to use it for you. It belongs to you. You see, your problem, you are the best person to appreciate what your problem is. You know when you share your problem, there's no how compassionate or empathy anybody can be. They can never understand your problem as you understand it. Because sometimes even the problem you're sharing with them is not a problem to them. And they say, what's your problem? Why are you worried about that? It's not your problem. You are the only one. Even the people around you who claim to love you may not understand your problem. They may even tell you have anything. The people around you may even be your problem. Hello? That's why you are the one you most qualified to throw the name of Jesus at that problem. Day and what? And night. Open to John. John chapter. Let me read the first one and I'll show you the second one. John chapter 16 first. John 16. Let's look at verse 23. John chapter 16. Yes. John 16. And we're looking at verse 23.
At that time, you won't need to ask for anything. I tell you the truth. You will ask the Father directly and he will grant your request because you use my name.
Why will the Father grant you your request? I know you're a child of God. Because you know why I know you're a child of God? Because you already call God your Father. Yeah, but he's telling you that the reason why the Father will grant you your request is why?
Because of the name of Jesus.
Because you use my name. That's why as on today, don't ever pray and say for Christ's sake. Jesus does not need your prayer. In fact, I can tell you, if you keep reading, Jesus said, I am not telling you that I will pray to the Father for you. It's there. Just read verse 24 and 25. Jesus said, I am not telling you that I will pray to the Father for you. Don't ever pray like that. Don't say, Jesus, pray for me. Oh, one dead saint, pray for me. That's zero. Nil. Don't say, Virgin Mary, pray for me. No, no, no. Virgin Mary is not God. Hallelujah. Even Jesus said he's not going to. He said, I'm not telling you to tell me. Look at verse 24 and verse 25 and 26. He said, I do not say that I will pray to the Father for you. Have you found it? Anybody found it, what I'm saying? 26. I do not say that I will pray to the Father for you. And if Jesus is saying that, that means no other person can pray to the Father for you in that sense. You have direct access. Of course, you can come to your pastor and we pray for you and agree with you. But don't ever think you don't have access. You have direct access. And the reason why you have to have direct access is that nobody will ever understand your situation as much as you. Hallelujah. He said, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Hallelujah. So, this is the way to pray. You don't even pray to Jesus. You can say, thank you, Jesus. You can worship Jesus. But you pray to the Father. You know why you have to pray to the Father? Because it's a relationship. Amen? You pray to the Father. When you can address God as Father, that's relationship. That means he cares about you. You know one thing about the fatherhood of God? There's no prejudice. The Bible says that God is not a respecter of persons. Amen? Even when people, even if, God forbid, let's assume that they even chase you away from the church and say they don't want you. God has not yet forsaken you. Amen? Nobody can stop God from hearing you. Except yourself. Hallelujah. He's not a respecter of persons and there's no partiality with God. Hallelujah. Everybody might have agreed that you are wrong. But God will make his own judgment independent. Hallelujah. So he said, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it. So that's as on today when you are praying to the Father. Yeah? Pray in the name of what? Don't pray for Christ's sake. He said, we ask that you bless this food, Lord, for Christ's sake. No! Christ does not need the food. Bless this food, oh Lord, in Jesus' name or in the name of Jesus. Then don't ever say, Lord Jesus, we thank you, we love you, and we ask this in your name. Who are you praying to in his name? No, the only reason why you need to use his name because you are using it to address something else. See what I'm trying to say? You cannot say, Lord, I ask this in your name. Because he's the same person. You only ask in the name of someone if you are addressing someone else. Hallelujah. You pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. But that's one level of revelation. Let me show you the other one, then we'll round up. So that is for prayer request. Like I need a new car. Yeah? I don't actually, but. Amen. You can pray. You know, you are trusting God about your exams. You are asking God to help you to pass your exams, you know, to help you study, to give you strength. You pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. There are two different types of situations. There are some situations you pray about. There are some you don't. I'll show you. So now open to John 14. That's the last place I'm going to reopen for time. John 14. So that's one way to use the name of Jesus, asking the Father. But it's not everything you ask the Father. John 14, and we're reading verse 13. John 14, we're reading verse 13. The other one was John 16, we read verse 23. Now it's John 14, we're reading verse 13. Audrey, are you there? John 14, verse 13. That's the last place to open today. John chapter 14, we're reading verse 13. Please read.
And I will do whatever you ask me in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son.
Listen to that. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. That's different. This is Jesus saying that he will do whatever you ask in his name. Whereas the other one said, when you pray to the Father in his name, the Father will answer you because you use his name. So they're different. What is he saying there? This one is when you need to use the name of Jesus to address a storm in your life. You don't pray to the Father. You speak to the storm. Are you listening to me? Yeah? Yeah? If there's a devil that shows up, whether directly or through people in your life, it's not something to pray to the Father for. It's something you will use the name. And Jesus, this is what he's saying. He said, anytime you demand your right, I showed you your right. Your right is in Mark 16, verse 17 to 18. One of your writers says, you will lay hands on the sick, and they will what? They will be recovered. Another one says, you will cast out devils. Yeah? Another one says that even if you eat poison, it will not harm you. So what happens? When the situation show up now, you have to demand your right. Yeah? You are demanding that right from the situation. It's not a prayer to the Father. You are demanding your right from the situation, and you will use the name of Jesus to demand your right. What Jesus said that, if you did that way, I myself will perform what you say, because you use my name. I said, whenever you demand your right of situations and circumstances, I will do it for you. Hallelujah. So, for example, if I launch out the name of Jesus and I lay hands on the sick, I'm not praying for the Father. You see, if I can pray to the Father for my needs, yeah? But when I need to demand my right, as given in Mark 16, it's not a prayer up. Say, Father, heal this child. No. That's one level. Did you see Peter praying? Did Peter pray? What did he do? He said, what I have, I'll give you. Did he pray? He said, oh Lord, now I will pray. Heal this innocent man. No, he said, what I have, I'll give you. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up. He demanded his right, as was given to him by Jesus. Then you know what happened to make it happen? Jesus showed up and did it. That was it. We do it. When you demand that right, I'll do it. Now let me tell you something to round up. If you believe that as truth, then don't ever shift your ground. Morning and evening, demand that right. Keep demanding it. There's a storm in your life, yeah? Rise up with divine anger and speak to it and say, in the name of Jesus, I command this storm to be still. Hallelujah. Then, after that, don't worry. Go to sleep. When you wake up on your sleep, if you still see signs of the storm, speak to it and say, in the name of Jesus, you storm, be what? Still. Hallelujah. So because every knee must bow until it bows. You keep throwing the name of Jesus at it because it belongs to you. Hallelujah. Anything that looks like darkness in your life or bondage, throw the name of Jesus at it. You cannot afford not to. Because it belongs to you and it's your responsibility. Hallelujah. Even if people don't understand, don't worry about them. The name already belongs to you. Go into your closet, your privacy. Throw the name of Jesus at it. If there are difficult people in your life, they are making your life hell, throw the name in the morning and evening. Amen? Don't throw it at them. Throw it at the situation. Hallelujah. You speak and say, in the name of Jesus, I command this situation to change. Then you take a rest in him. Amen? In the evening again, speak it. You will see miracle. Hallelujah. See, when I pray, I've seen it. I've seen situations whereby people, you know, we're about to go into the miscarriage. Not once. Yeah? And what you do? You just use the name. That's the name. Don't worry. You just say, in the name of Jesus, I command this situation to stop. I command onus. Hallelujah. Have I seen whereby I saw bleeding in my body? Something I've never seen before. I wanted to be afraid, you know? Because when you see something you've never seen before, you want to be afraid. But I remember I have the name. So I say, in the name of Jesus, I command you, stop. You just leave it and go and do your own thing. Within an hour. Stop. Hallelujah. You see something in your body that you know that should not be there. Don't be afraid. Say, turn to yourself. Say, fear not. What you need to do is speak the name. But you know what? You are doing yourself great harm if you refuse to use the name. Amen? You've been given a bad report. Use the name. Day and night, you will see miracle. And let me now finally finish on this. Read verse 14. Verse 14. John 14. 14. No, John 14, 14. Yes. Okay.
Ask for anything.
Please listen to that. This is my closing charge. Listen. Yes.
Yes. Ask me for anything in my name.
Yes. Ask me for anything in my name.
And I will do it.
And I will do it. 15.
15. If you love me.
Okay, no, that's not what I'm looking for. John 16:24. I need to just close with that. It's something you will like. John 16:24. Yes?
You haven't done this before.
You haven't done this before. What they have not done before that time was they have not asked the Father in his name. Yeah? And that was before the resurrection. They couldn't have, because it was at the reservation that Jesus, you know, God gave him the name above all names, that every knee should bow and every tongue confess. Now, what is he telling them in 24? Yes, go on.
You haven't done this before. Ask using my name.
Yes.
And you will receive.
Yeah, and you will receive.
And you will have abundant joy.
And you and your joy. You can just say, so that your joy may be what? Full. That's why I want to stop. I said, when you begin to use the name of Jesus to deal with life's problem, and you begin to see results, your joy will be full. You will enjoy this Christianity. Hallelujah. It will no longer be powerless. Amen. There is great joy when you have your prayers answered. Each and every time. Sometimes you don't have it answered because you may have asked it in the flesh or a bad motive. But if everything is right, when you see prayers answered, when you see people healed, when you see, you know, situations turn around, you're going to have great joy. You're going to be proud of this, your life. Hallelujah. Let's rise up. Let's rise up and pray. Like I said, we need to be out of here by 1 o'clock today. So I'm even asking the kitchen service to keep it light. Keep it light today so that we can get out on time. Just thank God. Say, thank you, Lord, that I have the name. You know, this name now is like an open check. I mean, if you're a believer, you have it. Whether you're 12 years old, whether you're 20, 30, 40, doesn't matter. And you have it for every situation, every circumstance. The only thing you need to do now to see more signs and wonders in your life is begin to use the name. Take that name like a big stone. Because it's a big stone, actually. Throw it at your problem. Morning and evening. Day and night. Don't move. Don't move. Just keep throwing it. One day, you will see great results. And as you see results, you will have what? Great joy. Your joy will fall. Because now you know that, yes, it works. This name belongs to me. It's a source that I have. I give to you. In the name of the Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up. And what? And walk. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for the victory we have in the name and through the name. Thank you because the name of Jesus Christ belongs to us. As a church, even in our individual lives, and as a body, we choose, we commit to use this name in every situation. Don't ever be shy of it. And thank you, Father, because we will see great results and our joy will be full. In the name of Jesus, we pray.